from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Indeed, we are ready to go. Welcome in to Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, trade deadline Tuesday, an hour remaining. Special guest, Kyle Glazer joins us. We got the whole crew here breaking it all down for you as it comes in. Padres indeed are on the board, ladies and gentlemen. Latest trade, if you hadn't heard. Padres get Tanner Scott, Brian Hoeing. They give up Robbie Snelling, Adam Mazur, Graham Pauly, Jay Beshears. And so, as we suspected, prices are quite high. Let me welcome in Chris, Matthew, Kyle. How are you guys today?
I'm good, Tony. I'm ready to turn into great performance on the trade deadline day. You know what? I'm good, but I'm amazed, honestly, Tony. The Miami Marlins got, it seems like, and I'm going to go to the expert Kyle Glazer here in a second. It's great that he's in studio with us, but it seems to me like the Miami Marlins got twice as much for Tanner Scott as they got for Luis Arraez 4 months ago, maybe even three times as much. And Tanner Scott better not like allow a base runner to be worth what they gave up for him. A lot. And I understand that the prices are higher right now, but this is a big gamble as far as I can tell for the Padres. But I'm going to leave it to the expert. That's my opinion. I'm not trying to lead him down a certain road. I'm just giving you my thoughts.
Yeah. Kyle, you can speak to this a little bit. I mean, is this a big gamble? I mean, the Padres are where they are. We're in the now. The three or four guys they gave up, only two of them have participated at the big league level. I don't know that they had had a ton of success at this level. What's your take on this?
Yeah, so what I would say is this is a very, very, very aggressive move that they are pushing the chips all in to get as far into the postseason as they can this year. Because with what they've done right now, merely getting to the postseason isn't going to cut it. Getting to the wild card round and losing isn't going to cut it. This is, I mean, they got to get to an NLCS and really probably a World Series for everything to pay off here. So I want to take a step back. I mean, Tony, guys get to the big leagues, their first stints all the time. They struggle. They go down. They figure some things out. They come back. They're much better. Adam Mazur and Graham Pauly absolutely struggled here their first stints in the major leagues. Both these are really good players. Adam Mazur has four pitches. He's got command. He's a good athlete. Needs to figure out some things. He's going to figure out, you know, all the lessons he learned. He still projects to be a pretty good big league starter long term. Graham Pauly, same deal. Again, has a chance to be at worst the get the majority of the at-bats as a platoon and get 400 ABs as a left-handed hitter hitting 20 bombs a year. I mean, both these guys have that potential and aren't that far away from reaching it, and theoretically could reach it as soon as next year in Miami. And then you look at Robbie Snelling. Robbie Snelling was the best pitching prospect in the system. He has struggled this year. What's happened is he has been nibbling a little bit too much against older, more mature double-A hitters. His fastball velocity is down a little bit because he's trying to be too fine, but the stuff is still there. He's still got the fastball, the changeup, the two breaking balls. The bulldog mentality is still in there. He just needs a mentality adjustment. He still projects to be a mid-rotation starter or better in the eyes of most external evaluators. So let's not kid ourselves. To your point, Chris, I would say this is a package 10 times greater than what the Padres gave up for Luis Arraez. Wow. The Padres completely fleeced the Marlins and Luis Arraez deal. To give up what they gave up and to get the Marlins to pay all of Arraez's contract and to get them to take on all of Wusugo's salary. I mean, the Padres took advantage of a GM that at the time just appeared to be in over his head. This is a completely different situation. The Padres gave up three really talented young players who all project to be more or less staples of a big league roster for years to come for a rental reliever who is dominant and could potentially help them this October, but they get him for 3 months.
The question is,
you know something, Tony? What he just answered is what I really wanted to say, by the way, at the beginning of the show, so I could sound a little more intelligent.
then I'll pose this question to you then.
Since
you're now taking ownership of Kyle's answer there.
Okay.
The question is, when are those guys projected to be your everyday starter or that long term?
Yeah.
Because the Padres window certainly is right now. And so now the question, you know, I think the answer to the question is that the Padres made a deal because the time is now.
Correct.
And so they don't have the luxury at this point. Well, the organization does, but maybe not everybody in it has the luxury of waiting on, you know, what the ceiling of Snelling and Mazur. And, you know, and so this is where we are. Padres improve a bullpen that I don't think anybody would argue didn't, that certainly needed some help there, for sure. They get a little deeper. And so now the question goes, how far can they go? How far will they go? Health is going to determine a lot of this, right? You know, Joe Musgrove working his way back. Yu Darvish is probably a three question mark. Toddy, he's due back at some point. And then you start to be able to see what it's really going to look like at this point. But at least from my standpoint, I think A.J. Preller did what he had to do in terms of trying to make this team better. We talked about it yesterday, Kyle, and I'd love to hear your point on this. I made the point yesterday, based on what the Padres gave up for Jason Adam, you knew starting pitching was going to probably have to involve, especially the guys that are on the board, is going to have to involve the top-tier prospects. Clearly, they weren't willing to go there in terms of bringing that type of starter in. Maybe it was didn't come together. Maybe it wasn't available, but you just knew after seeing the Jason Adam deal that that kind of told me everything you needed to know in terms of what the price tags were going to be for the top-tier guys in this market.
And we've seen, independent of the Padres deals, the prices for pitching, both relief pitching and middle-tier starting pitching, have been startlingly high. Obviously, the Lesko Adam deal, even the deal for Trevor Rogers today between the Marlins and the Orioles. I mean, to get, again, two potential everyday big leaguers ready right now for a guy who's been kind of a below-average-ish starter since coming back from his surgery. It's a high price to pay. On the flip side, we've seen the prices for position players be shockingly low. I couldn't believe what the Mariners got Randy Rosarena for. I have no idea why they haven't gotten Brent Rooker and Jonathan Indy already, if that's what the cost is.
Yeah.
But going back to the Padres, you're 100% right, Tony. The Padres are a significantly better team today than they were before they made this deal. And what's important to remember, I mentioned this with Annie and Craig, Adrian Morahone has already at his career high in appearances in a season. He's tied, majors or minors. Jeremiah Estrada has already exceeded his career high in appearances. This is was a three-headed monster in the bullpen at the end of games. Estrada, Morahone, and Suarez. Estrada and Morahone, their usage, you were concerned about, are they going to make it through the end of the year? Now you add Adam. Now you add Scott. And all of a sudden, this looks like a one of the better back ends of a bullpen in Major League Baseball. If you have a lead after six, you feel pretty good about winning the game. So the Padres are in a really good place. But you said something really important, which was that people not being as concerned about the future because they might not be around. This is a critical year for AJ Preller. If they don't make the playoffs this year, they will have made the playoffs twice in 10 seasons with AJ Preller as a GM / head of baseball ops. And that's just not going to cut it. There's a lot of urgency to make the playoffs this year and go deep into the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
I want to just jump on what Kyle said too, Tony. I think, you know, his point about where I was going with the word gamble is along what he said about how far they go in the playoffs. Because if they make the World Series, then I'd have been willing to trade anybody to get to the World Series. To win the World Series, you can have, if somebody tells me I can win the World Series with a trade, you can have Ethan Salas and you can have DeVries and you can have, you know, every other guy you want. Just give me my World Series. I'll take it and go home. So that's where I think the gamble is. I think if you do make it to where you're hoping this will help you get, then it's all going to be forgotten. But if they do come up short, and, you know, some of these probably given up. I mean, it is, you know me, Tony, prospects are prospects. I agree with you 100%. But the more you trade, the more you run the risk of somebody hitting the bullseye. And at least one or two of these prospects at some point are going to start paying dividends for somebody else out there, and you're going to wish you had them. So, you know, I hope that this all helps the Padres get, you know, let's get to the World Series. Not going to hear any complaining from me.
So it's a World Series or bust for Chris Ello. Just want to put that out there. That's what it sounds like.
I'm piggybacking on our new best pal, Kyle Blazer.
Well, here's what I'll say. If this team wins a wild card spot and loses in the wild card round, that's going to be a failed season with the moves they have made now, with how much they've invested, because you're right, prospects are prospects. At the same time, the counterargument is every player in the major leagues was a prospect at some point. It's about scouting, player development, and having a massive talent all throughout your system. That's what creates sustainable winners. And with the Padres now, the route they've taken is it's going to probably be pretty ugly come 2026. They're going to restock it, but no one's worried about that right now. They need to go compete right now this year, and they have a chance to. You talked about, Tony, when Musgrove comes back, when Tatis comes back, now that Bogaerts is starting to heat up, you have this bullpen. All of a sudden, they kind of line up pretty well against the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Powers, the National League. You feel like you have a chance, but they need to capitalize on that. I would argue if they even get to the division series and lose, it's going to be really, really rough and a tough pill to swallow. I think this team needs to get to a National League Championship Series for you to say, okay, you know, the risk paid off. The gamble was worth it. I think that's kind of the minimum here they need to do with the moves they've made today.
We'll certainly find out. I think, you know, I've been around this organization my entire life, and I just continue to harken back to prior to, what, before 20, when the Padres got in. It was 2005, 2006
yep.
was the last year they had been to the playoffs. And then I fast forward a little bit to the beginning 2014 of the beginning of this rebuild, and how tough that was for the 6 years prior to it starting to come together.
Oh, it was brutal.
And so
it was brutal.
When you add all that in there, I'm all for putting the chips in and seeing where it falls, because we watched 6 years of prospects, and really outside of Fernando, none of them turned out to be the big one that you lost, at least as of yet. There's still some question marks out there. C.J. Abrams, James Wood, those guys, you know, doing their thing a little bit. So this is the move they had to make, at least for this season. We'll see where it goes. But there's still another 47 minutes left in this
that's right.
day. So it may not be done yet. It may not be done.
No, and just so people know, that the deadline is at 3:00. Doesn't mean that we'll hear about every deal that took place before 3 o'clock. Right. Some news of other trades could come out at 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5, who knows? They don't always announce it the second it happens. So I think that's one thing. I think another thing to consider is the Padres, you know, and Kyle's kind of, you know, underscoring this, have made it clear that they're going for it this year, et cetera. I think we kind of already knew that they were going to go for it this year, especially after this recent seven-game win streak. But you talk about the window for the Padres and the window to be a champion, the window to be a contender for a championship. Don't you think, Tony, that window is still a few more years beyond this one? And the reason I ask that is you're going to get to a trade deadline next year, and you're going to get to a trade deadline the year after that, and I think you're going to be in contention, and I think you're going to want to pick up some pieces. Have the Padres left themselves enough pieces now to get guys not just this season but next season and going down the road?
I think when you're in this mode, you can't look too far down the line. And not to mention, everybody's a year older next year. You know, so I know they got the core signed up for a long period of time, but they're only going to get older as you get further. So although the window may be open still, it's not as wide. It starts to, the window is starting to close. Now, there are obviously complications every year when it comes to, you know, who's on your roster. Is the timing right to move some guys? And not to mention, at the end of the day, you still have two of the top-tier prospects in all of baseball still on your roster, still in your organization. So I don't think you worry about 2025 next year. I just think right now you're in a position, your team has really earned, I think, the right to compete for it. The way they've played despite the injuries, I think, you know, I think they've earned the right to be able to put the chips in the middle of the table and say we're going for it. And so, and that's putting the AJ Preller stuff aside, just based on how this team has played. I think there was reasonable, it would have been reasonable for you to question whether the Padres should make a move when you started the season, because there were so many question marks. You didn't know what you were going to get out of left field. You didn't know what you were going to get out of center field. You didn't know what the back end of this rotation was going to look like. And quite frankly, all of those questions have been answered, at least to this point of the season, with an astonishing, you know, level of play. And so I think the Padres did what they had to do. I think they would have loved to get a starter, and they still may, you know, but like I said, there's still 44 minutes left of this deadline. They still may do something, but given what the market looks like, I think they've done a pretty good job of at least handling one issue that I think could pop up and come back to hurt them.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head, Tony, and we've talked about this. I think trying to view this through prism of future years, all these deals were made with, we are trying to maximize our chances to win 2024 right now, the future be damned. I mean, that's what these moves have been. They have paid heavy prices. They've emptied out a lot of key guys from the farm system to, you know, get relievers who absolutely make the team better, but may not have the impact that you would think of when you think of what some of these trade packages would have looked like going into the deadline. But I think a key point you also made is this team has earned the right to go all in for. And I keep going back to, if I had told anyone here before the season, all right, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, and Fernando Tatis are going to miss most of the year with injuries. Xander Bogaerts is going to get hurt and struggle for most of the first half. Ha-Seong Kim is going to take a huge step backwards, and a lot of the bullpen pieces aren't going to work out as hoped. You would have thought, oh crap, the Padres are going to be
in trouble.
They're going to be in last place, or, you know, not last place with the Rockies, but you would have thought they'd be, you know, close to the bottom of the
MLS standings. Kyle, nobody could be that bad.
Right. And in
last place with the Rockies.
And all those things have happened.
Yeah.
And look where they are. They're in playoff position. That's a testament to Jerks and Profar and Jackson Merrill and all these guys stepping up and the coaching staff. I mean, and now you say, hey, our peak is still ahead of us with Musgrove coming back, with Tatis coming back, and Bogaerts is starting to heat up. This is a team worth going all in for, and this will absolutely help the clubhouse. So I understand them doing it, but you're right. This is about this year and this year alone. They're going to worry about future years in future years, because this was an all-in kind of day for the Padres.
I tell you what, I'll let you take over. I'll let you kind of jump in here, Chris, after this. The other thing you got to keep in mind is they kind of pushed the chips in the middle of the table last year, and it didn't work out. And so this year has that kind of – it's a part of the story on why you are pressing it the way you are. I don't think it was a guarantee that the Padres would push their chips into the middle of the table this year. I think it kind of was a wait and see how this team performs before we make a decision one way or the other. They made the decision because the team has played well. And so I just think it's important to have that in the backdrop. This is a team that last year had a very high expectations after getting to a division, a league championship the year before and missed the playoffs last year. So that window that really started in, 2020? This is year four of this window. How long can you realistically have that window open? And I think that is the kind of prism you have to view this, because otherwise, if you're just looking at it solely for this year, I think you're kind of missing the story. This is a four-year process at this point. And so they've reached the playoffs in 20, 22. Maybe the even years are special for the Padres because they didn't make it last year, and they still may do some other things, Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to just finish with one thing for this segment, Tony, and we're going to carry on with it all day long. And I do want to remind everybody that our friends at Roundtable Pizza in San Diego are helping us bring to you our 2024 trade deadline coverage. And Kyle Glazer is here, and him. I would have felt a whole lot more comfortable if they would have, maybe just something to think about heading into the break. I would have felt a whole lot more comfortable if they would have given this package up and gotten the starting pitcher they really, really need in return. But they didn't. They got another reliever that gives them amazing depth at a position they'd already added depth to. And that's just something... I just think a different way of looking at it.
So would you have felt better if they would have given up, let's say, Salas and, two of these guys in this package and got a starter? Would you have felt better then? It's still giving up the same boat that you're giving up.
Yeah. I would have felt good giving this boat up and getting a starting pitcher.
Yeah, that's not happening. That's why they got a reliever, because that price was...
Do I who?
You want Garrett Crochet?
I don't.
Okay,
I
well don't. Then you can't. Pickers, beggars can't be choosers, Chris.
Well, I'm going to try anyway.
All right, let's get to break. More trade deadline when we return. Listen, 97.3 The Fan's 2024 trade deadline coming to a close here pretty quickly. So sit back, relax, enjoy. More Gwen and Chris on the way.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back to Gwen and Chris and Kyle Glazer sitting in, and Matt Scraby and all of us. Hanging with you, 97.3 The Fan's 2024 trade deadline coverage presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. To that end, by the way, a special Padres Roundtable tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to break all this down.
As we were breaking the end of the last segment,
yeah,
I started to read the top part again.
I knew it.
I realized, like, right at the last second that, I think Chris just read this, so I pivoted. Did you catch the pivot, though?
Oh, I did. Smooth? I did. It was smooth, because you could see me in the chat, probably, or in the camera, like, laughing a little bit.
I couldn't see you.
It was good. It was a good pivot,
wasn't it?
Yeah, Tony Gwynn Jr., smooth operator.
I was like, wait, I don't actually have to ask him now, because he recovered so well.
You did that nicely, Tony. We are hanging with you. The trade deadline is at 3 o'clock, but as mentioned earlier... stick around, because the announcement of some trades could come down after 3 o'clock. Padres have made a big move today. They have acquired left-handed reliever Tanner Scott, formerly the closer of the Marlins, an all-star this year. Scraby was reading me some of his statistics. His ERA plus, Scraby said, is like three times. Makes him three times better than any other pitcher in baseball.
According to ERA plus.
According to that, yes. Yeah. Low ERA, low whip, gets a ton of strikeouts. And the Padres' bullpen, there's no argument there. Their bullpen is special, at least on paper right now. On paper, these guys still have to go out and get it done. But you got Suarez closing it down, but you've got now Tanner Scott. You've already added... Adam from the Tampa Bay Rays, and you still have Jeremiah Estrada and Adrian Morejon. And, oh, by the way, just for fun, you still have Yuki Matsui and Wandy Peralta. So the bullpen is looking terrific.
Can I just hop in real quick? Because I wanted to say something that Kyle mentioned earlier. And, you know, I think it's something to pay attention to, because – there's been no indication that the Padres are concerned about some of these guys and their innings limits, but it is a thing. And Morejon, as mentioned, you know, as one of the guys who has already kind of reached his limits. Jeremiah is another guy, and you know, I think having guys now, because basically they have two sets of set up seventh and eighth inning guys now, which is something they didn't have. And a lot of the really good teams have, like, a set of guys that, you know, when the guys who are run out there on a normal basis, you know, might be down, you got another set of guys that you can lean on. And I think the Padres have that. But I also think it's important to be mindful of those innings from some of the younger guys like Estrada or somebody like Morty Hone, who has, you know, been dealing, had dealt with injury over the past couple of seasons. It's something to keep in mind of in terms of this bullpen and how the depth will actually work out towards the end.
Go ahead, Kyle.
And to be clear, you know, these bullpen upgrades were something that needed to be made. Entering today, Padres were 19th in the majors in bullpen ERA. They're right next to the Tigers and Nationals in bullpen ERA, teams that we're not talking about in postseason contention. And to get through the gauntlet that is a postseason now, especially if you have to play in that wild card round, which the Padres most likely will have to, you've got to have a depth of arms. And Tony's exactly right. As I mentioned earlier, Jeremiah Estrada has already surpassed his career high in appearances, majors or minors. Adrian Morejon is already at, he's tied with, his career high in appearances in a season, majors or minors. And importantly, Morejon has never stayed healthy for a full season in his entire career, dating back to the day he signed when he was 16 years old. Throughout the minors, the majors, he has never stayed healthy through a full season. So you need to build in this insurance. You need to build in more guys that can get you to the end of games. And you're right, you look at this bullpen now, you line it up. If on a day when everyone's available, you have Estrada or Morejon to take down the sixth for you. You then go Adam in the seventh, Scott in the eighth, Suarez in the ninth.
Ooh.
I mean, that's one of the best bullpens in baseball. So you go from a weak point, again, they're 19th in the majors in bullpen ERA, and turn it into a strength. That's a pretty big transformation. And you understand, again, the Padres paid a very heavy price to do this, and it probably will hurt their future, but it greatly enhances their present.
I think another way of looking at this, too, with the addition of the bullpen guys, is look at the starting rotation that you have right now. Dylan Cease, you're not worried about going forward. Michael King, he's already 20 innings over anything he's ever pitched before. With this kind of bullpen, Michael King shouldn't have to pitch longer than five innings the rest of the season. Hey, Matt Waldron is also stretching out. Yeah. He's at 118 innings. You know, he's never been anywhere near this at the big league level. He shouldn't have to pitch more than five, six innings in a start anymore. You know, I don't know about Vasquez, Brito. It depends on who else you fill in. But as Kyle says, I mean, Tony, they can close the game down from the sixth inning now.
It is a great point because, you know, as you're paying attention to guys like King and Waldron who haven't pitched this many innings, you can start shaving some innings off. Now, you're doing that at the, you know, I don't want to say detriment. That's probably too strong a word, but those are innings that you could be saving for your bullpen at some point. But specifically with those two guys, it's another way that you can manage their innings, you know, because there's been a few games this year where King has been rolling, and I think they've erred on the side of getting him out early because they're mindful of those innings and him approaching a number that he's never been at before. So I think this gives Mike Schilt options, not only with the bullpen and you know, the things that are going on there, but it also gives him some room to work with some of the starters that are also getting up there in innings.
Yeah, it gives you some maneuverability to be sure. Tanner Scott is a Padre, Robbie Snelling, Adam Major, Graham Pauly, one other minor leaguer on their way to Miami, an expensive haul that the Padres pay to add an all-star to their bullpen. They'd already added one with the acquisition of Jason Adam from Tampa Bay, and now they will set their sights on who? A closer? Do they have anything left to trade for a closer?
They don't need a closer.
I'm sorry, not a closer, a starter. Oh. I meant starter.
So, what are we talking about?
Yeah, let's get another reliever. Why not?
Did you guys see what Joe
Musgrove... Is Josh Hader available? Can we bring him back?
No, oh, come on, Chris.
Come on now.
Did you guys see what Joe Musgrove said the other day? That he is trying to work his way back, but he's not built up enough yet, and that he doesn't mind being an opener, and it was something that he mentioned to AJ and all of those guys, so that he can start, he can pitch... And then he,
you know what this makes
innings.
Me think of? This makes me think of how much guys hate having to go down to the minor leagues to rehab. That's the first thing I thought of when I heard it. Of course, it would be beneficial, but that's how much these guys hate going down to rehab.
Tony, like, you're telling me you don't want to go spend a hot August summer afternoon in Lake Elsinore
or what? Paso or something?
I think that's what they're all telling us. Is what I'm gathering from it. But it's again. I think that speaks to Joe's, you know, willingness to really do anything for the team. And also stay out of Lake Elsinore if he can. certainly being able to use a guy like Joe Musgrove as a as an opener, I think he has the right mental makeup to kind of put himself in that kind of mode. And he's a chameleon when it comes to that stuff. And that's why I think Joe is one of the leaders. He just really can does anything that he can to help this team. And that's just another way he could do it.
All right, one trade just came down moments ago. The Pittsburgh Pirates are going to get utility man Isaiah Kiner-Falefa from the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll go over some of the other trades that have gone down so far today, along with the Padres acquiring Tanner Scott, what they all mean, and a little bit more on what the acquisition of Tanner Scott means and where the Padres go from here with Kyle Glazer, our baseball expert today, along with Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
2:42 on the clock. I guess because it's a trade deadline today, we get to blow through our timelines because Scraby hasn't complained one time about us being 10 minutes over. In the first segment, 5 minutes
today.
Over the second.
Losing battle today, so I'm just going to let it go.
The 97.3 The Fans 2024 trade deadline coverage is presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And we'll be filling ourselves up with some of that. Yes, indeed.
This is making me hungry, all these ad reads. I'm like craving pizza now.
Hey, welcome to our world.
Yeah. I sit in that room hungry all the time having to do these reads. I'll be able to eat some of that round table tomorrow because we will be having a special edition of the round table tomorrow morning. Gentlemen, we are winding down 17 minutes until the deadline is officially done. Kyle, do you think there's going to be let me ask you this because we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Do you think Crochet, you know, kind of kept himself in Chicago with his agent's comments? Because it certainly seems like teams have kind of that conversation has quieted down a little bit. And what's it going to cost at this point? Like, there's going to be somebody giving up a bunch of prospects if they get them, and either willing to let him get an extension, having had the injury history he has, and not having to have a full year to prove it, or making the deal and saying, we're good with you sitting out of the postseason if we give up all these prospects.
I can't imagine a contending team being willing to trade a marquee haul for a frontline starting pitcher who says, I'm done, I'm shutting it down at the end of the regular season. If you're trading for Garrett Crochet, you're trading for him because he has electric stuff that will play in the postseason.
Right.
I think the biggest thing with him, I think we do need to kind of keep in mind that came from a media report. Both Crochet and his agent actually haven't said anything yet. It was a media report, and then Chris Getz kind of talked about it, giving some validity to it. But it's always important to note sometimes things get lost in translation, and not all reports are 100% accurate, or there's some details that get left out. But I think speaking generally, based on what is out there and what we do know, yes, I mean, this absolutely makes trading for him more difficult from a White Sox perspective. You're not going to get as much because it's out there. Hey, if he's not going to pitch in the postseason, or it's going to cost us money and prospects, we're not giving you this standout haul you want. And from a team that wants to acquire him, it makes you kind of think twice about it now, because you say, you know what?
Yeah.
Maybe we just wait till the offseason, try and get him then, rather than take this risk right now.
You could get him for a whole year, a whole season, and you know, give up the same amount, and then possibly have him for another year after. The thing that I will say, because Kyle, I know you were being very diplomatic there, because you're right, we haven't heard anything from the agent, but we also haven't heard anything from the agent, meaning he also hasn't denied that he did say that, because that would be the first thing I would do if I was an agent and I did actually say that. I'd be out there the very next hour like, hey, that's not true, we're not looking for an extension if you were traded. But that hasn't happened, so I'm gonna go on the side of believing it was said at this point. I just thought that was a wild move. And not to mention, you're on the worst team in baseball. Is there any part of you that doesn't want to be in the worst team in baseball?
And not just the worst team in baseball, a team that is on pace to be the worst team of all time losses-wise. Yes. The White Sox are on pace for 121 losses, which would be the most since the 1899 Cleveland Spiders. And that entire organization is dysfunctional. I mean, from the ownership on down, you have a GM in place who Chris Getz is an ex-player, nice farm director, should not be a GM, has no experience necessary to be a GM. I mean, it's a dysfunctional organization, not a great stadium, not a great part of the city. Like, there's very little about the White Sox right now where you say, oh yeah, this is a place I want to be. So, I mean, if I were him, I'd be like, hey, get me out of here. I want to pitch in the postseason. I want to go to a contender. I want to go to a functional organization. And the fact that he is choosing not to or prioritizing other things over that is his prerogative. But if I'm a team looking to acquire him, I say, do I really want a guy who, you know, in the postseason, we want someone who's going to put his nose to the grindstone for us, give us his all. You know, maybe he's tired, but he's going to give us another inning because we need it. And he's pretty much told you he's not that guy.
Yes.
Not the guy at all. Crazy.
I will say this, and this is just to play devil's advocate. He hasn't had a healthy season, really. This is his first one. And this is his first year starting. So there is a scenario in which, you know, maybe he don't, you know, in terms of if the extension thing is true and it was asked for, I could see a scenario in which why he would ask for that, not understanding or not knowing what his body is going to be able to hold down over the long haul. And so you try to strike while the iron's hot. We'll see how that kind of unfolds. Kyle, any other guys you looking at right now that, you know, could possibly be moved or, you know, teams that you think could still be active here?
Aside from
the Padres?
I'm still waiting for the Mariners to strike. One of the things that I mentioned at the top of the show was that we've seen the prices for starting and relief pitching be exorbitantly high, and the prices for position players be shockingly low. You know, the trade for Randy Arozarena, which the Mariners made, you know, Aiden Smith's a nice center field prospect who's certainly good, but he's not a stud of studs. You know, Brody Hopkins is okay, he's interesting, but I mean, this is for...
Baltimore just got an acquisition. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Eloy Jimenez, that's coming up. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what that return looks like. You know, so I think for the Mariners, and even the trade for Isak Paredes with the Cubs, I was shocked how light that return was. And the Cubs, you know, they talk about, are they selling or not? At that price point, you make that trade no matter where you are. So if I'm the Mariners, I'm looking, I'm still kind of shocked Brent Rooker's not already a Mariner. Jonathan India should already be a Mariner. Luis Robert should probably already be a Mariner. I mean, with how low the price has been for position players, the strength of the Mariners farm system and how desperately they need, I mean, not just one or two more guys, they basically need almost an entirely new lineup to be a legitimately competitive come October. I mean, I'm expecting Jerry Dipoto, who, like AJ Preller, loves to make trades here in the next 11 minutes. They need to make a lot of trades. If they don't, it's going to be a failed trade deadline for the Seattle Mariners.
Well, you mentioned Eloy Jimenez. That's another Chicago White Sox. It is. Somebody brought this up to me the day, and I thought it was a good, fair question. Why does everybody want all these White Sox? They're all part of the worst team in baseball history. But individually, they sound like pretty good players. We know Eloy Jimenez has some ability. He goes to Baltimore. I think the winner in all of this, I was going to ask you who you think the winning team is so far, Kyle. But I think the biggest winner in all of this is probably Major League Baseball again. And I say that because I'm looking at today's trades and yesterday's trades. I count 17 teams that have added at least one significant piece. That tells me that there's more than half the teams are believing that they got a chance to win and do something now. And it wasn't always like that at the trade deadline. It used to be four or five teams would be, you know, gobbling up all of the available players. But, I mean, from Seattle to the Yankees, Philadelphia, Cubs, Dodgers, Cardinals, Astros, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Arizona, Mets, Cleveland, Baltimore, Kansas City, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Padres, every one of them added something in the last 2 days.
And I can tell you why that number is 17 exactly. Because there are 17 teams exactly in postseason contention. You have your 12 teams in playoff spots right now.
Right.
And five other teams within two games of a playoff spot.
There you go.
That 17 number is, there's a reason. Yes.
What's interesting about that is there are every year there's usually teams that are on the outskirts looking in, and there's usually a handful that decide, you know what, we're not going to participate in this deadline. Not the case this year. And you hope that this is something that gains momentum, and it's like this every year. You hope that this is what the whole intention of adding the playoff teams was for, and that it continues, because this is the kind of active deadline that Major League Baseball benefits from. It puts it in the same, I won't say the same realm, but along the same road traveled as the NFL and NBA when that deadline comes. Yeah. Too often, it's a dud in Major League Baseball. But over the last couple of seasons, we're moving in the right direction, it feels like. So that's certainly something to be encouraged about.
I think, too, you know, Chris, to your point about why do people want all these White Sox players, and Tony, you can speak to this. They see it as low-hanging fruit that these are talented players in a dysfunctional organization, and if you can bring them over and get them with good coaches, get them with the right everything, the right trainers, yeah, the right health, and a better environment, you're going to get peak performance, kind of like the Padres did just with Dylan Cease this year. Dylan Cease had a really rough year last year, but you looked at it and said he plays in a hitter's ballpark with a terrible defense behind him and a dysfunctional organization. Let's bring him over. They did the same thing with Joe Musgrove when they acquired him from the Pirates. They were a dysfunctional organization famous for having guys leave Pittsburgh and be really, really, really good, again, because their organization was a disaster. That's where the White Sox are now. That's where you see teams saying, hey, we can bring this guy in and help him get better. I mean, Tony, you were fortunate. You never played for, like, the Marlins when they were a dysfunctional organization. But, I mean, I know you've played with teams where when everything was clicking and others where it wasn't. It makes a big difference going to a good place to be.
My idea changed once I signed with the Dodgers in 2010. Or 2011, because that was McCourt's last couple years. And it was dysfunctional. And then it was like almost like night and day when the new ownership took over. Everything slowly but surely just got progressively better. And that was the first time it dawned on me that it actually is a trickle-down effect from the top to the bottom. If the top is solid, eventually it works its way down to the field. And, you know, here we are in 2025. 2024, same ownership in L.A., it has trickled its way down. And so, yeah, I think, you know, and this is why, you know, people who don't buy into chemistry and kind of like what's going on around players, those players are just symptoms now of a bigger issue in Chicago. You can't tell me that Eloy Jimenez isn't talented. You couldn't tell me Dylan Cease wasn't talented. They all struggled in that place last year, all of them. And I think, as you start to see guys leave that area, they get better because they are talented. But when you're stuck in that environment, you typically tend to you know, play in that environment and be in that. It's hard to be mind strong enough to just kind of overpass that while you're in it. It's really difficult. That music means it's time to go to break. When we come back, there'll be no more deadline. It'll be over officially. We won't necessarily have all the deals, but we'll get them to you. We're Gwen and Chris on the other side.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.